Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Brahmande Prakasha Tar Krishner Ichchai Ekai Sharupa Tar Nahi Dvi Kai. Brahmande Prakasha Tar Krishner Ichchai Ekai Sharupa Tar Nahi Dvi Kai. Brahmande Prakasha Tar Krishner Ichchai. Ekai Sharupa Tar Nahi Dvi Kai. Brahmande Prakasha Tar Krishner Ichchai. Ekai Sharupa Tar Nahi Dvi Kai. Brahmande Prakasha Tar Manifestation Tar of it Krishner Ichchai by the supreme will of Lord Krishna. Ekai, it is the same. Sharupa, identity. Tar, of it. Nahi, not. Dvi, two. Kai, bodies. That abode is manifested within the material world by the will of Lord Krishna. It is identical to that original Gokula. They are not two different bodies. So this is describing Gokula. Purport. The above-mentioned dhams are movable by the omnipotent will of Lord Krishna. When Sri Krishna appears on the face of the earth, he can also make his dhams appear without changing their original structure. One should not discriminate between the dhams on earth and those in the spiritual sky, thinking those on earth to be material and the original abodes to be spiritual. All of them are spiritual. Only for us, who cannot experience anything beyond matter in our present conditioned state, do the dhams and the Lord himself in his archa form appear before us resembling matter, to give us the facility to see spirit with material eyes. In the beginning, this may be difficult for a neophyte to understand, but in due course, when one is advanced in devotional service, it will be easier, and he will appreciate the Lord's presence in these tangible forms. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jina Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Shapadantikam. Bandeham Sri Gura Sri Jata Padakamanang Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadetam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lolita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Brahmande Prakashatar Krishnerich Chai Ekaisha Ruptar Nahi Dvikai. The abode of Lord Krishna, Vrindavan, Goloka, Gokula, is being described. Aradya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya Tadhama Vrindavan. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's no difference between Krishna and his dham, Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna is absolute, and therefore he's identical with his name, form, qualities, pastimes, abode, everything. But this can't be perceived with our present conditioned consciousness. Therefore it's said, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitana Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinnatan Nama Namino. Now, all of these are transcendental. Krishna's name, Nama Chintamani Krishna, it's transcendental. But Ata Shri Krishna Namari Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyami Sevan Mukhihi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyaraha. The name of the Lord or the abode of the Lord, nabhaved grahyam indriye, can't be understood with our gross senses, because their spirit and our senses are matter. Even the most subtle sense, the mind or the intelligence, is still material. So that means limited, restricted, fallible, incompetent. So with these gross senses, we can't understand Krishna. Sevan mukhihi jivado svayameva spratyaraha. Krishna can be understood when Krishna reveals himself. By the ascending process or the aggressive process of trying to break into the spiritual reality, we can't get anywhere. They remain inaccessible. The Lord's name, his abode, his everything remains inaccessible. But when he wishes to appear, then he's unrestricted. No one can stop Krishna from appearing as he likes. Swayameva spuratyadaha. When he's pleased by the sincere devotion of his devotee, then he appears. Devotional service, sevan mukhihi jivado, beginning with the tongue, by chanting Hare Krishna, describing the glories of the Lord. When Krishna is pleased, then he appears. So, brahmande prakash, the Goloka Vrindavan is also manifest in the material world, in Mathura district of Uttar Pradesh, in India, that abode is prakash, manifest. It's manifest. But it's simultaneously not manifest. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. Even when it's manifest, it can't be seen as it is, unless one has a pure devotion for Krishna. For the materialists, Vrindavan, either it's seen as a dirty little town, or as a place to enjoy material sense gratification. Now, so many developers have constructed buildings in Vrindavan and they're selling flats, and people are thinking that I can go to Vrindavan and enjoy a nice holiday, hotels and nice food and so on and so on. Similarly in Puri, the government is trying to encourage that this is a very nice tourist destination on the sea. And they want to cultivate that mundane touristic mentality. Come and see the temple, come and enjoy the beach. But that's not the idea. If one comes with the idea, let me enjoy, then he won't actually enjoy. The enjoyment goes to those who say, let me go suffer. The Goswamis, they went to Vrindavan and accepted voluntary suffering. Tapasya means inconvenience or suffering. To circumambulate Govardhan Hill is difficult. Especially they're doing that by Dandavat Parikrama, offering obeisances. In the winter it's very cold, in the summer it's very hot. And that's hard work. Or it's suffering. But by that so-called suffering, they attained the highest enjoyment. They were like madmen because they were overflowing with transcendental ecstasy. And they were overflowing with transcendental ecstasy because they gave up completely material sense gratification and the mood of material enjoyment. Therefore, they were able to appreciate. They gave up, not only they gave up, because the Maya bodies can also give up to some extent, or to a great extent, material enjoyment. They can also undergo severe tapasya. But they don't have that devotion for Krishna. They were doing it out of sincere desire to serve the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore they were actually able to see Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan was there, but it was not manifest or not known what is what in Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami to manifest Vrindavan. Manifest doesn't mean simply build buildings, although they did that also. It doesn't simply mean excavate the places, but it means set the standard of how to appreciate Vrindavan, how to understand Vrindavan, and how to approach Vrindavan. That was established by the Goswamis, six Goswamis, Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. Six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Vrindavan means, if one actually wants to understand Vrindavan, one should follow the path chalked out by these six Goswamis. Without following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, one will not be able to understand Vrindavan. We may not be to the standard of austerity or scholarship of Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, the other Goswamis. But we have to follow in their footsteps. Imitation is not possible. Or it's possible, but it will simply be empty imitation. But following their instructions and trying to pick up their method of understanding Vrindavan, this is the means. Sevan mukahidi trivado, by devotional service. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose. Shikshartam, to teach this. Detachment, vairagya, and vidya, transcendental knowledge. And nija bhakti yoga, devotional service. Shikshartam eka purusha purana. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. Kripambhutiya tamaham prapadya. He's very kind, very generous. So he makes devotional service easily available in Vrindavan and elsewhere for one who sincerely takes to his devotional service. Vrindavan is described by Srila Jiva Goswami as being the same, whether it's in the spiritual world or manifest in the material world. He discusses the matter in Brahma Sangita commentary. And the conclusion is that they're the same, except that one is manifest and the other is not manifest. When you don't see it, then it's Goloka. When you do see it, then it's Gokula. And what's the difference between the two? There is no difference. There is no difference. Except that one is manifest, one is not. So that understanding is again given here by Kaviraj Goswami. Ekai sarupatar. They're one. Nahi dvikai. They're not two. It's repeating, he's repeating himself from different, positively and negatively. Don't think that Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world and Gokula Vrindavan in the material world are different. They're the same. Why am I not seeing them as the same? Because of my defective vision. It's not a defect in Vrindavan, it's my defect that I don't see. That's explained or expressed by Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Vishaya chariya kave shuddha habiman. Vishaya means sense gratification. Vishaya chariya kave, when will I give up this mood of sense gratification? Shuddha habiman. Then my mind will become purified. To pure vision means pure consciousness. And pure consciousness means giving up the mood of lording it over the material nature, giving up the mood of sense enjoyment. Shuddha habiman. Then the mind becomes purified. When the mind becomes purified, then one can understand. On the one side, giving up the mood of sense gratification, and on the other side, taking up the mood of gratifying the senses of Krishna. Therefore, elsewhere, Vishya Chariya Erashe Majiya Muke Bholo Hari Hari. Lochandas Thakur says that give up this sense enjoying mentality and take up the nectar of chanting Hare Krishna. This is the thing. If one wants to go to Vrindavan just as a place for easy living and material pleasure, he'll never understand Krishna. And he'll never understand Vrindavan. He'll be living in Vrindavan officially, but he'll not be living in Vrindavan. He'll be thinking, I'm living in Vrindavan, but actually he's as good as living in Delhi. Because he has the consciousness of Delhi, although he's in Vrindavan. And the person who's living in Delhi, if he has the Krishna consciousness, actually he's living in Vrindavan. You may live in Delhi, you may live in Bombay, you may live in New York, you may live in Gainesville, you may live anywhere. And if your consciousness is Krishna consciousness, then you're living in Vrindavan. And the opposite also. It's our, sometimes Prabhupada said it's the consciousness that creates Vrindavan. Or you live where your consciousness is. Funny remark was made to by Srila Prabhupada to one of our godbrothers, Pancha Dravida. They were in India someplace, and Pancha Dravida remarked that Prabhupada, it looks just like California. And Prabhupada said, wherever you go, it will always look like California. So similarly, we may go to Vrindavan, but if we have the consciousness of a New Yorker, the Jamuna will look like the Hudson River. It will just look like another place within our experience or within our estimation. The place is described by Lord Brahma, Chintamani Prakara Sadamashu, Kolpa Briksha, Lakshabriteshu, Shurabi Rabi Paliyantam, Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevi. Oh, this is Vrindavan, but do we see Vrindavan? So Vrindavan is meant for purification. Or it's meant for those who are purified. Actually, to appreciate Vrindavan, either one has to be pure or one has to go with the aspiration to become pure. That should be our purpose, not to cultivate another phase of material life or another opportunity for material life. It's not a place for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's a place for devotional service, following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. And if we follow in the footsteps of the Goswamis, then we can hope that one day we'll be able to see Vrindavan. And seeing Vrindavan means seeing Krishna, seeing Radharani, seeing gopis, seeing everything, desire trees. Seeing means serving. By serving Krishna, then we can see Vrindavan. If we simply want to see, we take out our video cameras and get shots of Vrindavan, what will you see? But if we try to serve Vrindavan, then we can hope to see Vrindavan. Those who go to Vrindavan with the purpose of serving get to appreciate Vrindavan. And those who want to simply go but not serve, or those who want to serve themselves and their own desires by going to Vrindavan, will have difficulty understanding what Vrindavan is. Therefore Prabhupada's purpose in establishing Krishna Balaram Temple was to give the opportunity to render devotional service, to hear, to chant, to serve the deities, and to cultivate pure devotional service following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. Are there any questions, comments? Yes. We may desire to visit the land of Vrindavan, but if we haven't heard properly, we won't see properly. Yes, therefore, hearing that the Prabhupada advises that the purpose of going to a holy place is not so much to see, but to hear. In his own life, he was on parikrama of Vrindavan, and they were going to a different place every night. And one day, it was announced that this evening we'll be going to Sheshashai Mandir, one place. And otherwise, those who want to stay back, they can hear Guru Maharaj, and she'll also speak. So Prabhupada thought, why shall I go to Sheshashai Mandir? Let me hear Guru Maharaj. So his Guru Maharaj noted it, that this boy likes to hear. Prabhupada had the idea that hearing is more important. What will I do simply seeing? But if I hear from the pure devotee of Krishna, then I can see. And Prabhupada also set the example that hearing doesn't mean that I simply go to Vrindavan and hear esoteric, intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and that's my hearing. It means to hear about the science of Krishna. Not that inappropriately, now I've come to Vrindavan, where's the Ras Leela? And where are the people who can speak Raskata? That's not Prabhupada's teaching of how to understand Vrindavan. Prabhupada, it was announced that Prabhupada would go and speak Nectar of Devotion in Vrindavan at the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. So some of us were thinking, wow, Prabhupada's going to speak, you know, the Nectar of Devotion, all these intimate things. And Prabhupada spoke from the very beginning of Nectar of Devotion. What is sadhana bhakti? What are the rules and regulations? What is the definition of devotional service? He didn't go and simply say, oh, Lalita does this, and Bishakha does this, and these Shakis do this, and Radha and Krishna, and the Sevakunj, this, that. He gave the science of devotional service. Parikshit Maharaj also, he didn't, Sukadeva Goswami, he didn't start off with Parikshit Maharaj, with the most elevated and confidential subject matter. He began from the first canto. Because whether you're in Vrindavan or you're anywhere else, there's a science for understanding Krishna Katha. And we have to follow that scientific procedure and not simply try to eat what we can't digest. That problem comes in Vrindavan. Many times people go to Vrindavan, devotees go to Vrindavan, and there's so many things. You can go to Loi Bazaar or you can go just outside the temple, and there's all these sweets, and there's all these different kinds of, you know, can get this and that and the other. And really what they get very quickly is indigestion. Because they can, the things are so sweet and so good and so nice and so tasty, but you can't digest. So what you get is sick. So similarly, devotees, they want to jump into the most juicy and relishable and thick and rich Krishna Katha, but they get spiritual indigestion because they can't accommodate that subject matter. They haven't developed the strength spiritually to digest that. They don't understand the preliminary methods of devotional service, nor have they purified their heart of lusty desires. So I want to go to Vrindavan and enjoy and hear about the most intimate topics of Radha and Krishna. So that's not possible. Therefore, same thing. Narottam Das Thakur says that one has to understand Radha and Krishna by following in the footsteps of the Goswamis. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoebe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhujabashe Yugalapiriti. Radha and Krishna can be understood when one follows the Goswamis. Follows means follows, not that Rupa and Sanatan were talking about this and this. I'll also talk about this and this. We have to go step by step. Then we can appreciate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not only Vrindavan, but all holy places, the general instruction is that one should not go for more than 3 days. Long enough to appreciate and not long enough to get into trouble. At the first day, everything is new and we're excited and appreciative. And after 3 days, this is no good and that's no good, and let me arrange myself here so that I'm comfortable and this. And then we start to commit aparads and think materially. So quick in and out. Go long enough to appreciate and get a little taste, and get out before you get offensive or before you get entangled with undesirable forms of hearing, bad association. Just come and go. That's the general instruction. Of course, sometimes Prabhupada told us to stay. He told some disciples, it was funny, again, he was talking to some sannyasis, and he was instructing that sannyas means always traveling. No more than 3 days. You go and you preach about Krishna, and then you go to the next place. The rolling stone gathers no moss. Always going, traveling. And then the other sannyasi was sitting there, and I think he may have been president of Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, and you should always stay in Vrindavan. So different instructions for different people. Prabhupada wanted, actually he wanted that there should always be 10 Goswamis in Vrindavan, sannyasis. That's another thing. Anyway, he wanted that some disciples to stay in Vrindavan. But we should be aware of that instruction, that don't go and get entangled. So 3 days. 3 days. Vrindavan, Puri, 3 days. Yes, Drew Marsh. How could there be anything undesirable in Vrindavan, since the Vrindavan here and the Vrindavan there are none different? That undesirable thing is not actually in Vrindavan. It's sometimes described as being on a thin film that overlies Vrindavan. Just as we say that a person in material consciousness, he's not seeing Vrindavan. So from another consideration, he's not even in Vrindavan. He's hovering over Vrindavan, or he's on the surface. You know, like you get a new machine or something, and there's this little plastic film over it. So you can't really use the machine until you take off the plastic film. So the plastic film is our sense gratification mentality. With that mentality, we haven't actually entered Vrindavan. It's protected by Krishna. So we think, I'm living in Vrindavan. But actually, we're living in hell. Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that about Radhakund, so many Babaji's living there, and having sexual relationships with women in Radhakund, in the renounced order, so-called renounced dress. So he called it Narakund. Narak means hell. It doesn't mean that Radhakund is in hell, but it meant that those people who were thinking, I'm so fortunate, I'm in Radhakund, they were actually in hell, not in Radhakund, because of their consciousness. And Prabhupada was very careful about our going to Radhakund so that we wouldn't go to hell. We go to Radhakund, associate with those kind of people, and instead of going to Radhakund, we think we've gone to Radhakund, actually we've gone to hell. Just like Prabhupada said about those moon explorations, that they may have gone to Rahu. So we may have gone to Narakund, but we didn't go to Radhakund. Otherwise, why are we not in love of Krishna? Why are we now all of a sudden, we have gray tilak and we have the little mud beads and everything. Prabhupada saw that, some devotee coming back from Radhakund with these, where did you get these? Who told you to? Like that. Prabhupada was so particular about this thing. Who told you to go? Who did you hear from? Not, oh, you've come from Radhakund. He was so particular about it. Because he knew that devotees will go to Vrindavan, and if they don't associate properly, they don't hear properly, then instead of becoming purified, they'll become contaminated. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he warned, who was it, Jagadananda Pandit, I think, wanted to go to Vrindavan. And he was like pestering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to go, I want to go. So finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go, but go straight to Rupa and Sanata. Don't turn right and don't turn left. Go straight to Rupa, Sanata and Goswami. Stay with them. And always remain in their association, then come back. And he explained that the people in Vrindavan, they're special. They may be in spontaneous ecstasy. So they can do anything. But you can't, you'll misunderstand. The Brajbasis also are special. Even the rickshawwalas are exalted. Somehow or other they've taken birth, and of course many now they come to do business from outside, but so many, they're born in Vrindavan, and they're very fortunate. I think, did I tell the story that a parikrama party came to Vrindavan from Chopati, and they're all happy in ecstasy in Vrindavan, and one of the Indian devotees actually was going someplace on the rickshaw, And he said to the driver, now what did he say to the rickshawala? I think he said, Hare Krishna Bolo, or Radhe Radhe Bolo, so, something like that. And the rickshawala got angry at him. I'm coming from Vrindavan. I'm here in Vrindavan. I'm always chanting Hare Krishna, and you're coming from Bombay and saying Hare Krishna Bolo? Get off it. So it's a fact that they're very fortunate that even the rickshawalas, while plying their rickshaws, they indicate to people to get out of the way by chanting Radhe, Radhe. So they're very fortunate. But they can't be imitated. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cautioned Jagadananda Pandit that just go and stay with Rupa Sanatan. Otherwise, so many things are there, you won't know what is what. The person who's exalted, you'll think he's low. The person who's actually low, you'll think he's exalted. You won't know. So therefore, we're told to be Rupa Anugas, to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and discriminate what is what by understanding the science. Otherwise, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchratra Vidin Utpatayaiva Kolpate, we'll be confused or misled from the path by improper association, which is not doesn't actually pertain to Vrindavan, but is something that's like a covering. Yeah. Yes? About? Just a minute. I just don't want to talk about ISKCON and Vrindavan. Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know if I want to talk about that either. That's what I thought. I really just don't want to talk about ISKCON and Vrindavan. I really don't. Yes, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I have a lot to say about... I don't even want to talk about ISKCON Vrindavan. Please. Vrindavan is still there, beneath the dirty little village that people saw. Vrindavan was there. And now beneath the opulent or decadent manifestations that are a consequence of ISKCON's presence, Vrindavan is still there. Or, from whatever actual, for those who are actually in...